Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. This program is designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God.
So hey everybody, turn up your radio. Listen to your soul cry the question why song. Something you never seen before. So gather around, squeeze it tight, 'cause you're bound to hear a little truth tonight. 'Cause the love around here is bound to make you fall. Head over heels for heaven above.
Pastor Brian is currently teaching from the book of 1 Peter and will be continuing today with part 2 of Be Ready to Give a Defense. So let's turn in our Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 15 as Pastor Brian takes us back to basics.
But he says, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Some text reads, sanctify Jesus as the Lord. So I think what Peter is wanting to communicate here is that under these kinds of conditions, we need to remember that Jesus Christ is Lord. We need to be sanctified in that. We need to be set apart to that reality. The people that are persecuting me aren't Lord. Those who are causing the trouble, they are not the ones with final and complete authority. Jesus Christ is still Lord. And I need to be grounded in that. I need to be established in that fact. And that's what Peter is urging them to do. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. And the whole idea is that you would be liberated from not the persecution, but from the fear of the persecution. And you know, as you study the history of the church, and as you study the lives of the martyrs in particularly, you find that that was indeed the case. They did this very thing, and those that did what Peter admonished them to do, they obtained for themselves a great boldness in the faith. And quite often, in the face of death, they stood firm, and they were not afraid. They proclaimed Jesus Christ as Lord, not Caesar, back in the early days, or not some other figure later on in history, but they stood on the fact that Jesus Christ was Lord, and that liberated them from their fear and emboldened them to go on and do what Peter then said to do, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you. So rather than cowering under the persecution, Peter says, remember that Jesus is the Lord even over this circumstance here, and be ready when the opportunity arises. Be ready to give an answer or a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you. And quite often, the persecution would lead to an extraordinary witnessing opportunity. Paul was a man who experienced great persecution, and he always took advantage of the circumstance to share the gospel. You remember how the Jews were angry with him because he was saying that the Gentiles could have a relationship with God just like the Jews had had, that same sort of privileged status. And they were so angry with him, they were constantly hunting him down, they were harassing him, they were hoping to kill him. And so he inevitably was arrested on a number of times. And each and every time he was arrested, he took advantage of that situation to share the gospel with those that he had to go before. We find that in Caesarea when he was arrested in Jerusalem, and then, you know, he was brought before the Sanhedrin there. He took an opportunity to witness there. He was shipped down to Caesarea. He took an opportunity to witness before Festus, before Felix. And then we know ultimately he was shipped to Rome, and he stood before Nero, and he witnessed to Nero. And we see Paul demonstrating in his own experience the things that Peter is encouraging the Christians to do themselves when they find themselves in those kinds of situations. So being ready always to give a defense to everyone who asks a reason for the hope that is in you. I love that story in the book of Acts. As you get toward the end there, Paul is standing before King Agrippa. You remember that story there? And he's testifying before Agrippa. And as he's basically sharing his testimony, you know, here he is, he's the one on trial, but it turns out that Agrippa's on trial. And likewise, when he stood before Festus, when he stood before Felix, it was the same sort of thing. But there he is, he's standing before Agrippa. And instead of being intimidated, Paul is doing exactly what Peter said to do. He's recognized Jesus as Lord, even of this situation. I'm standing before this powerful ruler who can pass sentence upon me, but nevertheless, Jesus is Lord, and I'm going to take advantage of this opportunity. And so there he just preaches the gospel to Agrippa. And at one point, Agrippa says, "Paul, you've almost persuaded me to become a Christian." I love that. And Paul said, "Oh, King Agrippa, I would to God that not only you, but everybody else that's listening to me right now would become Christians." And so Paul took his suffering for Christ as just another ministry opportunity. And once again, as we go from the biblical history into the long history of the church, we find the same kind of thing happening over and over again. I'll tell you a very interesting story. Back from the Reformation period, the English Reformation, you've perhaps heard of Hugh Latimer. Latimer and Ridley became famous because they were burned at the stake in Oxford. What a lot of people don't know about Latimer, prior to his conversion, he was the great opponent of the Reformation, and he was the number one contender for Roman Catholicism in Britain at the time. And one young man who had been touched by Christ had a great burden for Latimer, but no one could get close to him. He was so brilliant, he was so articulate, he was so capable of refuting in argument, no one could get close to him. And yet this young man became convinced that God wanted to save Latimer. And so what he did, amazingly, he went to Latimer and asked that he would confess him. And so he went into the confessional booth. Latimer sat to hear his confession, and he would share the gospel with him during that time. And after several times of going into that confessional booth and presenting what Christ had done for him, Latimer finally himself embraced the true faith and became a great contender for the Reformation and was finally burned at the stake for his faith. But here this young man, he took advantage of that situation where they were being persecuted, and he used this opportunity to share the Lord with this man. And so that's what Peter is encouraging them to. Now, of course, in certain cultures today, this passage has tremendous application. It has tremendous application because in certain places in the world, believers today are going through the same thing that they were going through in the first century or during the Reformation period. There are people who are being persecuted solely because they are Christians today. And so this verse, of course, has a major application to them. Now, we ourselves might not find ourselves in the kind of conditions that they were in, but there's also something here for us. Even though we're not being persecuted, we also are called upon to be ready always to give an answer to everyone who asks us a reason for the hope that is in us. You know, we are all called to be witnesses for Jesus Christ. You have in the scriptures, you have references to the evangelist. And the evangelist is the person who is a proclaimer of the gospel. The word means to herald the good news. And so we recognize certain people. We have recognized historically certain people. We recognize today certain people who we would say are evangelists. This person is an evangelist. They herald the gospel. Billy Graham, of course, would be our greatest living example of an evangelist. And there are others. But that does not exclude others who are not necessarily evangelists from also speaking on behalf of Jesus Christ to those who don't know him. Actually, what the scripture indicates is that all of us ought to seek to do that as the opportunities come our way. And I particularly like this verse because that's basically what it says to us. Sanctify the Lord God in your heart and always be ready to give an answer to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you. Now, here's the thing. If we're living an exemplary life, the kind of life that Peter is describing for us here, that is going to attract the attention of people around us. And here's what God wants to have happen. He wants people to see your life, to notice that your life is different from the lives of everybody else that they are in contact with. And he wants you to be ready to respond to them when they say, hey, how come you don't do this or that? Or, you know, I've noticed about you that when this kind of thing is going on, you're not participating. What's with you? Now, that's the opportunity right there. And the Lord wants us to be ready on those occasions so that when somebody asks that question, or when somebody asks even more specifically, why are you a Christian? Why do you believe that stuff about Jesus? That we would be able to give them an answer. The word translated defense or answer in some translations is the word apologia, the Greek word apologia. And, you know, in our day and age, when we think of an apology, we think of telling someone we're sorry for some wrong we've done. Well, the word apologia doesn't mean that. It means to give a defense. It means to give an answer. And that, of course, is the word that we get our word apologetics from. An apologist is a person who defends the faith, a person who has studied the faith, a person who understands the faith, and a person who is out there proclaiming the faith and then defending the faith against attacks coming against it from other areas. Now, here's the thing. All of us, to some extent, are to be apologists. There are people who, like an evangelist, might have a greater capacity for that in a more thorough sense or a broader sense. But each and every one of us are really to be able to know what we believe and why we believe it, and then to pass that information on to others that inquire from us as to why we do this or we don't do that or why we believe this. That's our responsibility. If you're not able to do that, then you're failing to a certain extent in your responsibility as a Christian, and you need to move in that direction. You need to work toward being able to do that. Now, sometimes I'll meet Christian people who have known the Lord for quite some time, but quite honestly don't know a whole lot about the faith. And sometimes in conversation, you know, you'll even get the idea that, you know, maybe they're even a bit bored with their Christianity. And you find that they spend most of their time preoccupied with things that have no relation whatsoever to God or the things of the kingdom. You know, God has saved us so we can know Him personally and we can learn about Him and then pass that information on to other people so they can get saved as well. And so each and every one of us have that responsibility to know what we believe, to know why we believe what we believe, so we can pass it on to someone else. Now, the best way to do that is just get into your Bible and study it. And of course, you're here and you're going to be helped along as you're coming to Bible studies as well. And there's so much available to us today. It's amazing the literature and all that we have access to today to be able to equip ourselves. I mean, quite honestly, there is absolutely no excuse for any Christian today in this culture to be unequipped, because we have got more resources than you could ever imagine. And we have got, in comparison to most of the rest of the world, we have got resources that are inexhaustible, really, in comparison to the rest of the world. So we have that responsibility to sanctify the Lord God in our hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you. But of course, the most important book to read is the one that's sitting in your lap, the Bible itself. Just getting to know the Scriptures. And through getting to know the Scriptures, we get to know the Lord. And so when those opportunities come, when people come up and ask us those questions, we're ready then to give them an answer, to let them know why we believe what we believe and what it is that we do actually believe. And I want you to notice one other thing he says, with meekness and fear, with meekness and reverence. As you look in the realm of apologetics, there are many good men out there who would be classified as apologist. Many times, unfortunately, that element of meekness and reverence is missing. They're smart, they're articulate, they'll chew you up and spit you out, and no apology for it. And that's not real helpful. You know, we're not out there to win arguments for the sake of winning arguments. What we want to do is win people to Jesus. So if you win an argument, but yet at the same time drive a person further away from the Lord, you haven't done a whole lot. It's good to win an argument, but you want to win the person. And that all happens with your attitude, how you're defending the faith. So with meekness and reverence, having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. As we've mentioned before, that's, you know, those rumors back in the early days of the church that the Christians were all troublemakers, they were all evildoers. And we hear some of those kinds of things today, but by our conduct, by our attitude, all of these things, that we would silence that kind of thing by living exemplary lives, so that they would be ashamed to even say those kinds of things about us. And then he says in verse 17, "For it is better if it is the will of God to suffer for doing good than for doing evil." Now here's an important verse. This verse says sometimes it's the will of God to suffer. There are people who absolutely refuse to believe that. And they have brought more difficulty to Christian people. People who have been suffering. And they come seeking help. And instead of getting any kind of help in the midst of their suffering, they're just rebuked for suffering. They're told they're out of the will of God. They're told they've fallen from favor with God. God doesn't love them. They must have some sin in their life, or they don't have enough faith, or something like that. Because it's never God's will to suffer, they say. It's always God's will to prosper. It's always God's will to be healthy. It's always God's will to be wealthy. It's always God's will to have everything going your way. And if there's ever a time when things aren't going your way, then you've got to somehow be out of the will of God. That's basically what they teach. That's a lot of what goes out over so-called Christian television. But here in the Bible, we're told that sometimes it's the will of God to suffer. For it is better if it is the will of God to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. Sometimes it's God's will. And it's the height of arrogance and really stupidity to say that we know better than God. God knows what is best. And sometimes, even though we can't necessarily understand it in the present, sometimes it's part of God's will for his people to suffer, because it's in that suffering, as we've pointed out before, and we'll keep going back to it because that's one of the themes of this epistle. As we pointed out before, it's in the midst of suffering that God does a deeper work in us. It's in the midst of suffering that God will often reveal himself to us like he's never done before. It's in the midst of suffering that we learn that he is really all we need. And so sometimes, God knowing best, he wills that we go through hard times, but he's with us through them. He blesses us even in the midst of it. And he promises that he's working an eternal purpose in us through it. And so, whatever your situation is, remember, sanctify the Lord as God. Whatever the situation is, he's still the Lord. Don't be afraid. Stand firm. Look for those opportunities that God brings along to let people know what you believe and why you believe it. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that, Lord, you're with us, that you're working out your plan. Lord, that you are using us. Lord, that you want to use us even more. Thank you that your eye is upon the righteous and you're wanting to show yourself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are loyal to you, so that you could work mighty things on our behalf, so that you could be glorified in and through our lives. Lord, we think about the many people around us daily that don't know you. And Lord, we know that part of the reason why you've left us in this world is so we could testify to you, so that we could witness for you. And so, Lord, help us to be ready to give a defense or to give an answer to everyone who asks us the reason for the hope that is in us. Help us to prepare ourselves, Lord. Help us, Lord, to be diligent to present ourselves approved to God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, one who can rightly divide the word of truth. Oh God, you've given us your word, the greatest of all treasures. Help us, Lord, not to be negligent when it comes to understanding it, but help us, Lord, to seek to know you more intimately so that we can pass that knowledge on to others as the opportunities arise. So, Lord, we just are asking you to work for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
We'll return with more of our study of 1 Peter in our next lesson as Pastor Brian continues with part one of The Coming Judgment. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of this study, or perhaps you'd like to review it again at a more convenient time, you can do so by simply calling us toll-free at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message entitled, Be Ready to Give a Defense. Or if you prefer, simply refer to it by resource number BT3048. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-733-6443. And for those of you that prefer to write, you can address your correspondence to Back to Basics, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And when writing or calling, be sure to ask for a free catalog of available resources from Back to Basics, and please include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. You're also invited to visit our website at backtobasicsradio.com, where you can listen to archived messages by Pastor Brian, or subscribe to our podcasts. Once again, that's backtobasicsradio.com.
Turn up your radio.
Back to Basics is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.